looks a little different up here this morning. So we are in a sermon series, The Gospel According to Children's Books. And this morning, Cassie's going to read for us. So I'd like to invite any children who would like to come up and hear the story. You're welcome to come up now. All right. This morning, we are reading a book called Wherever You Are, My Love Will Find You by Nancy Tillman. I'm going to show you guys the pictures. I'm not going to show them the pictures because they won't be able to see them anyway. I wanted you more than you ever will know, so I sent love to follow wherever you go. It's high as you wish it. It's quick as an elf. You'll never outgrow it. It stretches itself. So climb any mountain, climb up to the sky. My love will find you. My love can fly. Make a big splash. Go out on a limb. My love will find you. My love can swim. It never gets lost, never fades, never ends. If you're working, or playing, or sitting with friends. You can dance till you're dizzy, paint till you're blue. There's no place, not one, that my love can't find you. And if someday you're lonely, or someday you're sad, or you strike out at baseball, or think you've been bad, just lift up your face, feel the wind in your hair. That's me, my sweet baby. My love is right there. In the green of the grass, in the smell of the sea, in the clouds floating by, at the top of a tree, in the sound crickets make at the end of the day, you are loved, you are loved, you are loved, they all say. My love is so high and so wide and so deep, it's always right there, even when you're asleep. So hold your head high and don't be afraid to march to the front of your own parade. If you're still my small babe or you're all the way grown, my promise to you is you're never alone. You are my angel, my darling, my star. And my love will find you wherever you are. Thanks for joining me.
And now this morning's scripture reading, which is from Romans chapter 8, verses 35 to 39. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry? Or destitute, or in danger, or threatened with death? As the scriptures say, for your sake we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. No. Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither our fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell, can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed, nothing in all creation, will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. The word of God for the people of God.
Well, good morning. Balmy February day. I think you guys need to call your snowbird friends and tell them to come back. It's warm. You know, one of the things that I've done a lot more in recent years, naturally, is I've been spending more time reading children's books. And there's probably many of you who know that there's a lot of wisdom that can be gained in reading children's books. So this morning, I want to play a little children's book trivia. I have a few quotes from children's books. Some of them are young adult novels, and some of them are even movies. And I'm curious if you can guess the book. First one, a person is a person no matter how small. That one goes to the choir. It's Horton Hears a Who. Second one, generally, by the time you are real, most of your hair has been loved off and your eyes drop out, and you get loose in the joints and very shabby. But these things don't matter at all, because once you are real, you can't be ugly, except to people who don't understand. Velveteen Rabbit. Why did you do all of this for me, he asked. I don't deserve it. I've never done anything for you. She replied, you have been my friend, and that in itself is a tremendous thing. Charlotte's Web. Numbing the pain for a while will only make it feel worse when you finally feel it. Nailed it. Our professional. The moment where you doubt whether you can fly, you cease forever being able to do it. Peter Pan. Some people without brains do an awful lot of talking, don't you think? The Wonderful Wizard of Oz. And lastly, the grass is not, in fact, always greener on the other side of the fence. No, not at all. Fences have nothing to do with it. The grass is greenest where it is watered. When crossing over fences, carry water with you and tend the grass wherever you are. This is a children-ish book. All I Really Need to Know, I Learned in Kindergarten. You know, one of my favorite things about Christianity is that the gospel is so deep and intricate. The scholars will dedicate their lives to studying, to digging deeper, just to learn a little bit more about the faith. And yet the gospel is so simple that a child can understand it as well. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And if you're like me, sometimes you want to brush over those simple aspects of faith. You've heard them and you want to move on to something more complex. Let's talk about justification or sanctification or grace. Let's talk about what the gospel writers were really trying to communicate when they told those stories about the Messiah. And yet I'm learning that the most profound truths that God has to offer are often the most simple. One of my favorite stories in scriptures is the book of Matthew, where Jesus is with his disciples. And the disciples want to know who is the greatest. And Jesus calls a child over and places this child among the disciples and tells them, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. And I don't know about you, but when I read that story, I get this really good, really feel-good picture in my head. The disciples are wanting to know this profound truth, and yet Jesus brings a child over. I imagine the disciples becoming very quiet, almost stunned at this powerful truth that Jesus is teaching them. You know, when I visualize that, maybe Jesus invites a little child over who's maybe playing with a lamb. Jesus makes a few observations, and the disciples appreciate the gentleness, the tenderness, the innocence of a child. But then I picture my child in that story, and it's a little bit different, because she's yelling at me at the grocery store. She's asking the strangers in the checkout line very personal questions. When people ask her what her name is, she says, poopy face. And I imagine that version of the story, the disciples are very confused as to what Jesus is trying to communicate. How can children be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Because children, they can be unpredictable. But children still have that spark of imagination. That imagination that, as adults, we sometimes miss. They remind us of basic stuff. That basic stuff that we learned in kindergarten. Like sharing, kindness, love. That everyone's invited to have a seat at the table. Values that embody our Christian faith. What was it about children that Jesus wanted his disciples to model? And certainly, I'm sure there are a number of things that Jesus may have wanted them to consider. But I wonder if one of the biggest things is that children are often trusting. Children believe what you tell them. Jesus wants his disciples to believe what he teaches. As we get older, we can tend to get cynical or jaded. We question someone's motives. We question whether they're too idealistic or if they really know what they're talking about. But children just trust. And Jesus said a lot of things that I think are hard to believe. Things like, don't worry about your life. Don't worry what you're going to eat or what you will drink. Don't worry about what you'll wear. If you have faith just the size of a mustard seed. Truly, I tell you, unless you become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Because there's something to that childlike faith, something to the profound yet simple nature of belief as a child. Sometimes when I'm wrestling with my theology of evil, or trying to make sense of hate in our world, I need to be reminded of what it means to have a childlike faith. I need to be reminded that wherever I go, God's love will find me there. I need to be reminded of God's unchanging, consistent love. You know, the book of Romans is rather thick theologically. Written by the Apostle Paul, it's full of teaching on sin and grace, the tensions of living together as Jews and Gentiles, while they were figuring out that the gospel was available for all. And there's a lot in the book of Romans. And it's interesting that we get just this tidbit at the end of chapter 8 about God's love. And earlier on in this chapter, Paul was talking about suffering, encouraging the church, letting them know you will experience suffering. And at one point, earlier in the chapter, he tells the Romans, the sufferings of today are not worth comparing with the glory God will reveal to us later. And Paul doesn't brush off suffering, but he does offer, it pales in comparison to what God will reveal to them in the future. And in all of this, he leads up to this climactic moment at the end of chapter 8, revealing the truth of God's love. N.T. Wright summarizes what Paul says like this. He says, look what God has done. Look what the Messiah has done and is still doing. Look around and see the many things that threaten to separate you from the powerful love which reaches out through the cross and the resurrection, and learn that they are all beaten foes. The end of Romans 8 deserves to be written in letters of fire on the living tablets of our hearts. Written on our hearts should be, wherever you go, God's love will find you. Because it's already there. I appreciate what a more modern phrasing of Romans 8 from the Message Bible. And he puts a paraphrase like this. So what do you think? With God on our side, how can we lose? Do you think anyone is going to be able to drive a wedge between us and Christ's love for us? There's no way. Not trouble, not hard times, not hatred, not hunger, not homelessness, not even the worst sins listed in Scripture. I am absolutely convinced that nothing living or dead, angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, high or low, thinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love because of the way that Jesus, our Master, has embraced us. There's so much hope in this part of Romans, and yet it's so simple. And Paul, when he's talking to the church, he doesn't tell them that they're untouchable. If anything, he says they are touchable, that they'll face difficult times, that they'll be in danger, they'll be destitute. Just like us, we will age and we will be in pain, and all those things that we try to avoid we'll face. But Paul offers in all of this, there's an anchor to our faith, a love that sustains the test of time, a love that wherever we find ourselves, that love is already there. That even one of the most final aspects of this life can't separate us from that. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. And it's that love, that security, that allows us to face our world and live out the gospel with courage. And if someday you're lonely, or someday you're sad, or you strike out at baseball, or you think you've been bad, when you move to a new city and you have no friends, when you get a divorce and you never saw it coming, when you lose your job and it gets offered to someone younger with less experience, when your spouse has an affair or you're ashamed of your private addiction, or you feel that guilt and that weight for the things you've done, wherever you go, my love will find you. The cross has already secured that even death can't separate us from God's love. And in all of this, isn't there freedom in what Paul is saying? Just like children, are children not free to explore, free to try new things, free to make mistakes when they're assured of a big person's love for them? So climb any mountain, climb up to the sky, make a big splash, go on a limb, dance till you're dizzy or paint till you're blue. There's no place, not one, that my love can't find you. And in our lives, don't we take those big risks when we're assured of ourselves, when we're assured of our value as people, as God's children? And because of this, the early church could confidently embody the gospel. They could confidently figure out what it meant that now the Gentiles, that now the other people were now invited into God's love. They could embrace persecution, martyrdom, because they knew it doesn't matter. Not even death can separate us from God's love. You know, later on in the book of Romans, Paul's in chapter 10, and he's continuing this argument that the gospel is for all. And at one point, he quotes a little bit from the prophet Isaiah. And as he's leading into his teaching, he says, "But how can they call on him to save unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they never heard? And how can they hear unless someone tells them? That is why the scriptures say, 'How beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news.'" How can people call for help if they don't know who to trust? And how do they know who to trust if they haven't heard of the one who can be trusted? And how can they hear if no one tells them? How beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. And when we know that good news, that wherever we go, God's love is there, we have that courage to live it out. We can hold the hand of our friend grieving for their teenage son. We can go to Martha's Kitchen or the food pantry and just listen to the stories of those in our community who need a friend. We can stand with one another and, like the prophets, call out practices and systems in our world that are inconsistent with the gospel. We can heal from losses. We can begin again. Because there's a sense of freedom in God's love, that freedom to think outside the box, that freedom to see the new ways that God is moving, the freedom to drink deeply of God's well. And I think when you have this freedom, you'll change the world simply by offering the good news. This past Monday, I had the opportunity to travel to Family Promise in Allen County with a few of my colleagues in Bowling Green. And we went to Family Promise because it's an organization, a nonprofit, that takes in homeless families, and they go through a 30-day program in which they help families get back on their feet. They go through some financial and family sustainability training. And my colleagues and I from Bowling Green went because in the last couple years, we've seen an increase in homelessness in our community. Now, much of it is probably hidden to many in our community. Usually it's a college student sleeping on our lawn for a couple weeks, or several phone calls throughout the year from our partners at Krim Elementary about families who don't have a place to go, or sometimes even walk-ins. And on that same day that we visited this ministry, I received a phone call from a woman who was crying, and she wanted to come in and talk to a pastor. And she came in, and we chatted. She's a former RN, college-educated. used to coach her daughter's cheerleading and softball teams, has a faith, has a prayer life, and recently went through a very difficult divorce, some depression. She experienced some medical setbacks with her children. She's now 8 months pregnant, has four kids, was in financial trouble, so had to let her nursing license lapse. And so now she's living, her and her kids, with a friend in one room in Bowling Green. And she's in the process of getting aid and waiting on low-income housing. But this is someone who, a few years ago, would probably look like any one of us. Life just happens. And it was so interesting that she didn't ask me for anything. We helped her get connected with resources, and we gave her some food for our food pantry. But she just wanted a listening ear. She just wanted to talk to someone. And there are people like this every day in our community who are hungering for the assurance of what God offers in Romans 8. That nothing can separate us from God's love. And when we have the assurance of God's love, we're the ones who go out. We go out and embody the gospel. And I don't know how God is calling you to offer the good news in your life, but I know that God is. Because once we've heard the news, we have a responsibility to live it out. And you know, children are pretty good at that. When I walk through my daughter's preschool room, I hear, "Don't worry, it's okay. I can help you with that. I'll share with you. Do you want to play with me? Don't worry. I know that God loves you more than you can ever imagine. So let's figure this out together. I can be your friend and walk this path with you." And when you look at it that way, it doesn't take an awful lot to live out the gospel. Join me in prayer. God, you tell us through your prophets that how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. So God, within our church, within our community, for those who wrestle with doubt, with insecurity, with loss, God, remind us that you come to us gently. Remind us that there's nothing that we can face in this life that your love is still not deeper. And by your Holy Spirit, empower us, by your people, to live out the good news in whatever platforms or influence you give to us, knowing that those are indeed the very gifts that you intend for us to steward in this life. In the name of Christ, we give thanks. Amen.